All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and let's go back to Genesis. Let's start in chapter 9. All right, chapter 9. I'm going to entitle our study tonight, Life After the Flood. All right, life after the flood. Now, in this ninth chapter, we see the conclusion of the flood, and God telling Noah that He was going to make this covenant with him, and that's in verse 11 and 12, and He said, "Now here's the token of my covenant." God always gives us a token when He gives us a covenant. And the token of the covenant here is the rainbow, the bow that was put in the clouds. All right, so look please at verse 13. Verse 13. And God said, I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of the covenant between me, and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow, the rainbow, shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant. So God put the token of the rainbow in the sky, but He not only put it in there for us, but He put it in there for Himself. Because you see, God knows we're sinners. And He knows, and you remember, the whole reason for the flood was because these sinners got out of control. And so judgment came. And thank the good Lord, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But anyway, God said, the bow shall be upon the cloud. And now look down, if you will, please. It says in verse 18, and the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were, and here's the three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. All right, now, that's the order. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. All right, now look over at chapter 10 for just a moment. And we have here in chapter 10, the Bible says, now, these are the generations of the sons of Noah. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. All right, so there it is again. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. But now notice when we start reading verse 2, Moses, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of course, gives us the descendants of Japheth first. Japheth first. And then the descendants of Ham, and then in verse 21, the descendants of Shem. All right. So, so what I want to do tonight is I want to speak to you on this subject, life after the flood. And I'm going to show you a couple of things tonight I hope will be a blessing to you. And I want you to understand that all of us in this world tonight or today, wherever you may be, on whichever end of the globe you're on, all right, all of us on this planet are the descendants of one of these three boys. All right? Each one of us. We all came from either Ham, Shem, or Japheth. All right? Now you got to realize that. That's That's mind-blowing, is it not? I mean, when you just sit here and think about it, that is absolutely phenomenal. All right? But we're going to see some things tonight that I hope will be an encouragement to you. All right? Let's pray real quick, and then we'll look at life after the flood. All right. Our Father, thank you now for the opportunity we have to open the eternal word of the living God. And Father, I pray that you will bless what I'm going to say tonight. I pray that you will bless our folks as they listen. And I pray that the word of God will edify each one of us in a wonderful way. May we leave here tonight rejoicing in the goodness of the Lord. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, after the ark landed on Mount Ararat, which, by the way, is in Turkey. All right, it's in Turkey. Ararat, Mount Ararat, is in what is today the country of Turkey. And so, so when the ark landed, and Noah and his family got off the ark, and then they let all the animals off the ark. The events and the things that occurred are recorded for us in chapter 9, 10, and 11. Now keep in mind that every single living human being on the planet died in the flood. That's hard to fathom as well. Imagine, folks, 2,000 years. That's the amount of time between Adam and Noah. It's about a 2,000-year span. Remember that that man had this canopy, this vapor canopy over the earth. God put that there for man. And that vapor canopy was useful from the standpoint that it kept the earth at a constant temperature all over. It was just as nice at the equator as it was at the North and South Pole. Now think of that. And then you have, of course, the effects of the sun. That's what we deal with. That's why we get old and all wrinkled up, you know. If we live long enough, we get all wrinkled up. And the reason we do is because the sun has damaged our skin. I don't know how many skin cancer things I've had cut off, burned off, scissored off. I don't know. Sometimes I thought they were trying to dig for gold. I said, one time I pulled away, I said, would you stop? It hurt that bad. Seriously. Right here. Right there. And he just kept... I said, have you hit gold yet? What are you doing? Man. And so we age. Well, we read here that these guys lived 900 years. Now, I don't know that I'd want to live that long at the rate I'm going right now. How about you? But nonetheless, realize nobody was on the planet. When those boys and their parents and their wives got, those eight people got off that ark, they were alone. There was nobody on the ark, I mean on the earth. Isn't that something? Nobody. That's amazing. I mean, you would, surely when they stepped off of the ark, they would have this eerie feeling in their bones. No one was alive but them. It was after the flood waters receded from the face of the earth that God made this covenant with Noah that we read about in verse 11 and 12. And that covenant basically was a covenant made with mankind, if you will. The Lord gave a sign to Noah, and the sign was the bow, the rainbow. And the bow that God told Noah that he would see was to be seen in the cloud. So in other words, whenever the storm clouds began to roll, they had assurance and comfort from God when they saw the rainbow that God was never again going to destroy the earth with water. And so the bow was a token for the covenant that God made. The heart of that covenant is that God will never destroy the earth with water again. Now, God's going to destroy the earth again, but it's with fire this time. All right? So something interesting is that over in John chapter 4 and in verse 3, or Revelation chapter 4, verse 3, John saw us, he saw the church in heaven, and we were around the throne of God. And in verse 3, John said when he looked at the throne that was in heaven, where God was and where the Lord Jesus, the Lamb, was, that he saw over top of the throne a bow, a rainbow. He said he saw it around the throne of God. And it's almost like God put it there as a reminder to himself, and it's been there all along, as a reminder to himself that never again will God destroy this world with water. Now, who gave us that rainbow? God did. God did. Why was it given? It was given as a reminder to every person on the planet that God is not going to destroy the world again with a flood. And yet, for everything God does, for everything that God has, for everything that God is, the devil has a counterfeit for it. All right? God is a triune God. He is three, yet one. And the devil is presented in the Bible as a triune false god. In the Godhead, you have the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. You've got Jehovah God, Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit of God. Then in the satanic trinity, if you will, you have Satan as the Father and imitating the Father, God the Father. You have the beast, the Antichrist, imitating the Lord Jesus, the false Messiah, imitating the real Messiah. And then you have the false prophet who will imitate the Holy Spirit. All right, so everything God has, the devil has a counter for it. God has his word, and the devil has his word. All these wacky Bibles that everybody is falling in love with, and they're watered down. They've taken out doctrine that should never be taken out of the Bible, and they've weakened the scriptures But the devil knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. And now churches all over America, people go to church and they don't know what to bring to church with them. So they don't bring anything. What they do is they put it all up on a screen. Nobody carries a Bible anymore, except for when you come here. But nobody carries a Bible to church anymore because nobody knows what perversion they're going to use. I mean, version they're going to use. And so the devil knows what he's doing. That, folks, listen, the devil perverts everything. God has his churches. The devil has his churches. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And so understand that when God put that rainbow in the cloud for Noah and for his descendants, and now for us, we walk out every time I have ever seen a rainbow, I immediately think of God. Immediately. My mind goes to the Lord, and in my heart I say, thank you, Lord, for that promise that you will never destroy this earth with water. Thank you. And yet, keep in mind now, everything God does, the devil has a counter for it. And isn't it amazing how the perverted sodomites have taken the rainbow and they have corrupted it by making the rainbow the symbol of their wickedness? Shameful. But that's what the devil does, folks. He perverts everything he gets his hands on. He takes every good thing that God has ever given and he twists it around to fit his own purposes. You see, God knows what he's doing, but the devil also knows what he's doing. All through the scripture, the Bible signifies that there are only one of two ways a person can go. You can't go both. You have to choose one way. And and here are the options that the Lord gives. He says there is a right way, and then there is a wrong way. And then the Lord Jesus said, there is a straight and narrow way, and then there is a broad way. That's kind of ironic, isn't it? Kind of ironic, if you want my opinion on that. The broad way. Well, whoop-de-doo. Hooray for Hollywood. You know? Devil knows what he's doing, folks. Now, remember that Noah and Mrs. Noah had three sons, and they each had a wife. So God started over with these three men and their wives. Look at chapter 9 and verse 19. Look at 9:19. In verse 19, these are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth, what's the next word? Overspread. Overspread. So God started over with the three sons of Noah. Now, let's look tonight at specifically chapter 10, and let's look at these three families and how they overspread. All right, look at chapter 10 and verse 1, and notice the Bible says these are the generations. And then in verse 2, he starts with Japheth. And he says, the sons of Japheth. And then he names them all, Gomer and Magog, and on and on and on. I'm not going to make my wife have to translate all of these. All right? And then he gives you, so there are the first generation, Then there is the second generation, all right? And then there is the third generation, and it just keeps going. And so you can see how these descendants of these three boys, you can see how they would have scattered across the earth. All right? And there's another little thing I'm going to show you in a few minutes that will help you understand how they accomplished that in a relatively short period of time. All right, so the first son that is mentioned is Japheth. All right, now, Japheth means this. You ready? Scattered abroad. That's what Japheth means. Scattered abroad. And that is exactly what the descendants of Japheth did. They scattered abroad. Now, let me stop right here, and you'll remember God identifies in the Bible quite a bit. All right? He mentions saved and unsaved. All right? Two groups. All right? He narrows things down. You'll remember when Joshua came before the people, and he said in really what was his last message as he was an old man dying, he said to the people, choose you this day whom you will serve. And he only gave them one of two choices. He said either the God of heaven or the God of the Amorites that they had bowed to. And then you'll remember Elijah was up on Mount Carmel, and the Bible says that the prophets of Baal all came, and there was a showdown, and Elijah said, here's what we're going to do. He said, you guys build an altar, and you pray to Baal, and I'm going to build an altar, and I'm going to pray to God. So one of two choices. And he said, whichever God answers by fire, that will be God. And so they tried all morning to get Baal to answer, and I'm sure the devil wanted to jump up and do something, but the Lord stared him down, sit down. Every time he got up, sit down. And he wouldn't let him do a thing. And then Elijah said, okay, Lord, show them who you are. And bam. And it consumed the offering, the wood, and even burned up the stones and licked up the water that was poured around it. But one of two choices, either God or Baal. If Baal be God, then serve Baal. But if God be God, then serve God. And it just all the way through the Bible. Now, what we find here is that, or another thing, and I mentioned this to you last week, is how God in the Bible talks about two groups, Jews, and what's the other? Gentiles. Now, you remember I said to you last week, and some of you commented to me about this during the week on Sunday and in a couple notes, but you commented that you had never thought of that before. And so I was thankful that I got to share something with you that you hadn't thought of before. That made me feel good. But yeah, God looks at the world. You're either Jewish or you're a Gentile. You know what that means? Do you know what that means? That means if you're not Jewish here in America, you're a Gentile. It doesn't make any difference what color your skin is. It doesn't make any difference what kind of accent you have. If you're not Jewish, you're a Gentile. You know what else that means? That means that the billion people in India, they're not Jews. They're Gentiles. You see, but that doesn't ring true to me. Yes. What doesn't ring true about it? You want a Gentile to be a white person, don't you? I want you to think about this. The 1,300,000,000 people in China, they're Gentiles. All right? And the Indians down in South America, and the Eskimos up in the Arctic, Gentiles. All right? You say, well, Pastor, and this is the question that Karen asked me a while ago. You say, well, Pastor, where do these Jews come in then? Weren't these guys Jews? No. No. At this point, God is dealing with the sons of God. All mankind. He is dealing with all of mankind. There is no Jew in this chapter. All right, everybody understand that? All right, look at the timing here, all right? You've got Adam, you've got 2,000 years, and then you've got Noah. You've got the ark, then the flood came. Everybody dies. Then, except for the 8 on the ark. The ark rests. And then the 8 get off. And they look around and they say, now what, Dad? And Dad says, it's time to start looking for some wood to build a house. All right? It's time to get to work. And so life goes on, in other words. And so they started to have children, and their families grew. And then, just like we have children, our kids grow up, they get married, they move out of the house, and they have their own family, and it just keeps going. You know, I'll talk to my dad. I called him Monday night, and I'll talk to him. I said, how you doing? I'm fine. How's kids doing? He don't care about me. He never asks about me. Never asks me if I'm sick. How's Josh? So, excuse me, I'm your firstborn. Oh, I know you're all right. How's Josh doing? And how's them grandbabies? And he'll just, you know, we have families and we love them, and boom, we just keep expanding. Until look at us now, the earth is probably as populated today, the scholars believe, as it was in that 2,000-year period between Adam and Noah. Because you see, you had that long life. Folks didn't die like we do today. They didn't have heart attacks. They didn't have cancers like we have today. The effects of sin had not grown and developed like they have today. Isn't it funny? The first thing that doctor wants to know about you does your father have heart disease? Well, what difference does that make? Oh, trust me, it's important. How about your mother? Did your mother have heart disease or cancer or anything? And you have to sit there and go through and write down to the best of your knowledge. And then you look at the paper after you finish writing and you shake your head and say, I don't have a chance. Isn't that right? I'm a goner. All right, so with that vapor over, canopy over, it kept them from the harmful rays of the sun. I mean, they lived for 800, 900 years. And the sons of Japheth are mentioned in verse 2 to verse 5. And you can see in verse 5 one word that is key. Look at it. By these were the isles of the what? Gentiles. There you go. All right, so the Japheth. They were the Gentiles. They were, Japheth was the father of the Gentile nations. And underneath him, you see Gomer. And Gomer went north. You see Magog. Magog was, back years ago, was a province in Turkey. The province in Turkey. All right? And so, I mean, you know, they stayed basically in that Middle Eastern region. But they multiplied, and as they did, they went out. They went north, they went east, they went down into Africa, they went over into Europe. All right? But now, read on. Look at verse 6 through verse 20. In 6 through 20, we see the sons of who? Ham. All right, now, Ham means hot. Hot. H-O-T. Yeah. And when you do a search, all right, you've got Cush. Where's Cush? Africa. All right. Mizraim. And then Put. Where's Put? Africa. All right. That's Libya. Yeah. And then, see this one? Canaan. How about that? You say, well, what was that? The land of Canaan. Do you remember when the children of Israel were to go over into the land of Canaan? And God said, hey, when you get over there, rid the land of the Canaanites. And they didn't do it. And those Canaanites pulled them down. And they eventually lost their kingdom, their nation, as a result of God judging them. All right, so go back to chapter 9, verse 18 for just a moment. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham. All right, and notice this, and Japheth. But then it says, and Ham is the father of Canaan. Now remember now, the Bible is Christ-centric. And it is Jerusalem-centric, even though there is no Jerusalem here yet. But you will read about the Jebusites, and you'll read about some of the other nations. Look at verse 16. The Jebusites, those were the people that David bought Jerusalem from. Remember that? He bought Jerusalem from the Jebusites. And then you have in verse 16, the Amorite and the Girgashite and all the Hivite and the Archite and all their otherites. All right? So they're all the kings of the region. And so who were they? Well, Canaanites. People of Canaan, the people of Canaan. And listen, that's where God's people, that's the land that was given to God's people. So Ham means hot. Now, let me stop right here. The descendants of Ham are also Gentiles. They're Gentiles. All right? Now, so what happened here? Well, let's go back I'm going to have time to do just this. And then we'll have to pick it up next week. All right, look please, if you will, at chapter 9, and let's read something here. This is disgusting. It really is. It's just awful that this happened. All right, look at verse 19. It says, these are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. And Noah began to be an husbandman. You know what that is? A farmer. Yeah. Yeah, he was a farmer. and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was, what's the next word? Drunken. Oh, come on, Noah. But he did. And oh, did it cause a mess. Verse 21, and he was uncovered within his tent. You know what that means? He was naked. He passed out, laying there, passed out, drunk, naked. All right, so the boys were wondering, where's Dad? Haven't seen Dad. One of them says, well, last time I saw him, he had a jug turned upside down and was getting the last drop out of it. Well, somebody go in there and check on him. No, I'm not going. Well, I'm not going. Ham said, I'll go. So Ham went inside. Now let's read what happened. It says, and Ham, verse 22, the father of Canaan, there it is again, all right? You see, you and I are supposed to understand that Ham is the father of Canaan. We're supposed to understand that. All right, so Ham, the father of Canaan, watch this now, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backwards. You see that? In other words, they walked in like this without having to look upon their father's nakedness. And they covered their father. Now, what happened? Well, Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. Now, what did he do unto him? Now, everybody, you know, says, well, he did some kind of homosexual thing. I don't think so. I don't think anything connected to that. You know what I think he did? I think he mocked his father. He shamed his father. You know what I think he did? He went in to check on him, saw that he was laying in there drunk and naked, and then he turned around, came outside, and you ever notice these newscasters and announcers for basketball and football games, and they say, well, I bet he throws back a cold one tonight. And everybody laughs. Oh, shut up. Nobody wants to listen to you say talking about this, about him getting drunk. I mean, come on, give the guy credit. He might be a born-again Christian. You don't know. And there you are mocking and making fun of being drunk. And I think old Ham came out. Guys, you ought to see Dad in there. He's drunk out of his mind. Ha, 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 ha. Shaming their father. And when Noah woke up and got his sense about him, he then pronounced a curse. Now watch. Watch this. Verse 24, and Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. In other words, he found out that his son mocked him. Now watch. And he said, cursed be who? He didn't say cursed be Ham. He said cursed be Canaan. Huh. Isn't that strange? You know who lives in the land of Canaan today? The Ishmaelites, the descendants of Ishmael. And they have been a thorn in the side of Israel from day one. And you know, those all those nations, they cannot understand. It is just beyond their capacity to conceive. How in the world does Israel always win? They just don't get it. And they've been asking that question for thousands of years now. Why does Israel always win? They're still asking it today. Do you remember Malad, my little buddy from Lebanon? Oh, I tell you, I love him like a brother. He is such a wonderful fella. And Malad and I got to talking about this one day, and Malad brought it up. What happened was, we were in Israel, and I tried to send him a text, and it wouldn't go out. And it wouldn't go out because you couldn't get it through Israeli airspace. And so I tried to call him. Beep, 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 beep. That's all I got. And so when we were over there, I told him, I said, Bud, I tried to call you. And he said, really? I said, it wouldn't go through. Of course it won't go through. He said, you're a nut for even trying. He says, I wonder they didn't come pick you up. He said, they know everything, you know. I said, what do you mean? Oh, yeah, they know everything. They know everything we do. They know when our king goes to the bathroom, when our president goes to the bathroom. I said, really? Oh, yeah. They got spies everywhere. I said, oh, come on. I was just baiting him on. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They got spies everywhere. And he said, you know what we just can't figure out? And I said, what's that? We just can't figure out why we always lose to them. We cannot beat them for anything. In the Six-Day War, we had them. They were surrounded on all sides. And they had junk to fight with. Junk! We had the latest Soviet technology. And they had American refuse. Stuff that they were trying to throw away. And Israel said, we'll take it. And yet they whipped all of us. Egypt, Syria, Jordan, Lebanon, Syria. They whooped them all in 6 days. That's why they call it the Six-Day War. So, could it be that that curse is still on Canaan? I think it is. I think it is. All right, well, let me mark where we are. There's a lot more, folks. A lot more. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. Thank you for these things. We thank you for explaining to us, taking the time to put this in the Bible for our understanding and for our edification. And Father, it's amazing to think that every person that has ever lived on this planet from the flood on has come from these three boys. Amazing. And Father, I pray that you'll help us to go home and read and study and think on these things And Father, just give us understanding of what we've heard. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.